AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Insulate your home and save on energy costs. Owens Corning Pink Foamular Insulation Panels are moisture resistant and can be used anywhere, including walls, attics, and basements. Foamular Insulation Panels are available in multiple sizes to fit your project. Visit Menards.com to shop all foam board insulation. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for great deals happening this week. Save big.
And happy Monday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, David Maddock, 2 hours of fantasy recap from week 9 of the NFL season. And what a wild week it was. Lots of upsets in the NFL on Sunday. Three really big ones. Three teams favored by a touchdown or more. Not just not covering, but going down outright. So hopefully you had better success in your fantasy leagues this week. I seemingly did okay, kind of got through it. We'll see. Still one game to go tonight to get through that, Davis. But kind of wacky stuff happening nonetheless in terms of outcomes. And a rare week in the NFL where a lot of unders coming in. Not as many points as we normally see as well. So happy Monday to you.
Yeah, I mean, it does not feel like that happy of a Monday. The games just like, look, if we're going to be honest about it, the games on Sunday in week 9 were not good. I believe there were only three players with 100 yards receiving: George Kittle, Keenan Allen, and Cordarrelle Patterson. Lamar Jackson had the best fantasy day for a quarterback. Nick Chubb had the best fantasy day for a running back. But by and large, it was not the Chiefs were very uninspiring. The Cowboys get blown out. The Bills lose to the Jaguars. You know, the Bengals get nothing going offensively against the Browns. So these fantasy friendly offenses we have come to enjoy really, really did not deliver in week 9.
No, they did not, to say the least. And a lot of the public picks also did not deliver on Sunday nonetheless. And Davis, before we get to the headlines, Survivor, did you make it through yesterday? How did anybody make it through yesterday?
You know, I had this whole argument with George and with Brett Levy, our producer, on the Thursday show, where I said, guys, yeah, I cannot take the Colts. I can't do it. And we took the Colts. We did. Because we looked at it. And what saved us is that we saw that week 12, if you have not looked at week 12 for your survivor pool, go pull your survivor pool up and look at week 12. There is no one right now on the look ahead lines favored by more than 5.5 points in the whole week. So not even including teams that are really good. And we wanted to save the Cowboys, who play home to the Raiders on Thanksgiving. So we just got lucky.
That's a good game, by the way. Okay. All right, Monday headlines here on the show. The Tennessee Titans. Yeah, we all knew that on November the 8th, the Tennessee Titans would have the best record in the NFC. Especially, you know what, we all knew in September when we thought Tennessee was done. They beat the Rams 28-16. Jaguars, Broncos, Jaguars plus 14, Broncos plus 10, outright wins on Sunday in the NFL in week 9. The Cardinals, without Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, and of course J.J. Watt is out for the season, they had no problem with the 49ers. They went up real big. I think it was 17-0 at least. 31-17 was the final. Ricky Rubio had a career night in the Garden last night as the Cavaliers beat the New York Knicks. And last night they gave out the Gold Glove Awards, the Rawlings Gold Glove Awards. 5 Cardinals end up winning the Gold Glove. And by the way, Yadier Molina, not one of them. Jacob Stallings won for catcher yesterday. So, you know, we could start here in a number of directions. And I suppose for me, I think the most impressive win, Davis, yesterday probably was the Cardinals, because I was just so certain that they were going to lose in that game yesterday to San Francisco. We took them in our contest. We were getting points in San Francisco on Wednesday. Turned into 2.5, turned into 3. And then if you had the foresight of just basically sticking with James Conner and starting Colt McCoy, like playing these guys that you never would have thought, I suppose it's probably more of an indictment on San Francisco on their season, But my gosh, I really feel a lot better about the Cardinals after watching that game yesterday.
I mean, so I do on Friday on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast, which you can find wherever you listen to podcasts. I do a show on Fridays with Rich Rebar, where we pick our five favorite games against the spread. And the Cardinals were my second favorite pick getting points against San Francisco. And I said, you know, one, I did think on Friday that Kyler could play. But more importantly, Craig, the 49ers stink. What do they do well? What do the San Francisco 49ers do well? Their defense is fine. They have players whose names people know, which is, you know, that's always dangerous, right? When people know players' names on defenses, they tend to overrate that stuff. They're like, oh, you know, Bosa, Fred Warner, these guys, like, I know their names. They must be really good. But the offense is just bad. I mean, just straight up, like, they run like a, you know, I don't know, like a Tulsa level college offense. You know, it's all very simple. It's all designed to keep Jimmy Garoppolo from ever getting exposed, which if they're playing with a lead, works really well because the defense has to be trying to make plays and you can run the ball. But down 10 points, I don't know if there's any quarterback I would want to have less down 10 points than Jimmy Garoppolo, because he just cannot and will not make plays out of structure.
Yeah, fumbling from Kittle, fumbling from Brandon Ayuk, it definitely set them back in that game for sure. So what was more surprising for you? Was it Jacksonville beating Buffalo, or was it Dallas laying a complete egg against Denver?
Dallas is good to lay like two eggs a year, regardless of how good they are. So I don't think they just always do that, especially at home. They love to lay the egg at home. And it's got to be the Jaguars, though. You know, the Jaguars winning a 9-6 game. You probably could have given me 100 tries to guess the correct score of that game, and I don't think I would have had Urban Meyer's Jacksonville Jaguars beating the Buffalo Bills. Really absurd result.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Yeah, definitely. Yesterday was a lot of surprises in the NFL for sure. Okay, coming up next, it's time for us to dive into the game capsules. And next up, we'll tackle the Giants and Raiders. That's where we'll begin with our fantasy standouts as we're off and running here on this Monday. Stay on the grid. More fantasy sports today. Coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid as we recap all of the Sunday games in the NFL from a fantasy perspective. It's me, Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock every day, Monday through Friday, noon to 2 Eastern. Let's get started with our first game of the day. Actually, a really exciting game right down to the wire It was the New York Giants defeating the Las Vegas Raiders in a fourth quarter, minute to go scenario. Really good game. Daniel Jones, a pretty good first half, but then the second half, it was a complete shutdown. They just kept handing the ball off to Devontae Booker, and Booker made the most of it. I think he got right at 100 yards, if I'm not mistaken, but then they took a yard away, maybe in the end. 99 rushing yards, 3 receptions, 23 receiving yards. Evan Engram also got involved in the scoring, getting a touchdown. And Graham Gano, 3 field goals for him, including a 38-yarder. He has saved the Giants so many times this season. The end could be here for Booker. Who knows? He's definitely carved out a role for himself on the Giants, probably playing his best football of his career. Saquon Barkley is back, but the Giants do have the bye week coming up next week. He talked after the game about his success and moving forward.
Shoot, really, it's just we knew what was at stake. We know we had a bye coming up, but we wanted to, you know, go out there and prove that we can run the ball on these guys. And we did that. Our line was blocking it tonight, and it was opening up holes for me to run through. And really, like, yeah, we were just doing everything that we needed to do on the offensive side with us running and passing to get this victory tonight.
Were you able to?
And obviously, if Barkley comes back, that diminishes Booker's role, but he's definitely figured it out a little bit, how to be a viable running back in the NFL. Raiders have figured out another way to disappoint us. They clearly outplayed the Giants from start to finish, but bad interceptions from Derek Carr sort of doomed them, and then he was sacked and fumbled at the end of the game. Carr threw 46 passes in this game, 296 passing yards, 5 rushing yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Josh Jacobs rushed for 76 yards. He was in and out of the game with injury yet again. 4 receptions, 19 yards. Kenyon Drake also got 30 rushing yards, but really the key was his receiving. 6 receptions, 70 yards for him. Hunter Renfro, definitely the beneficiary of some extra targets in this one. 7 receptions, 49 yards and a touchdown. And certainly from my perspective, it was great to see Darren Waller getting the volume again and thrown at in the end zone a couple of times. He didn't catch him, but he looks to be back. 7 receptions, 92 yards. Also, let's not forget that Carlson, the kicker for the Raiders, missed a very short field goal. Davis, the Raiders could have won this game like 8 different times in 20 different ways, but they'd kind of do what the Raiders do, is sort of give it away a little bit. But, you know, certainly Renfro seems to be the beneficiary of having now, you know, some extra targets there for the Raiders, without a doubt. And on the Giants side, you know, Booker was a nice replacement for people who picked him up off the waiver wire. I think it's probably over now, but, you know, he'll be somebody to watch in the future if Barkley gets hurt again.
Well, let me tell you, Devontae Booker did not get 100 yards. He got 99 yards. And why does that difference matter so much? Because on DraftKings.com for fantasy, you get 3 additional points for cresting 100 yards. Devontae Booker got to 103 yards. I'm celebrating. I'm feeling good. Booker was my favorite play this slate. We talked about him yesterday when I did TV with you. He gets the 100 yards, feeling awesome. Devontae Booker then proceeds to get another rush, loses 4 yards, suffers a slight knee injury, walks over to the sideline, does not come back into the game with 99 yards. They bring Elijah Penny out to salt the game away. Penny gets like 3 carries for 5 yards or whatever. So pretty miserable there. I have a stat for you, Craig. Since 2019, since Daniel Jones was drafted to the New York Giants, the Giants have the fewest offensive touchdowns in football. Embarrassing loss for the Raiders. Really, the only reason they lost this game is because Derek Carr threw a pick 6. Had he not done that, I don't think the Giants would have been able to generate enough offense to put, they couldn't have even passed 16, I don't think. But Renfro has a huge role. And then now we have DeSean Jackson signing with the Raiders. Unclear, you know, what his target volume will be, but we do know his role. But Renfro is, you know, a guy you can pretty much start almost every single week.
Yeah, I mean, 20 fantasy points, and it was good to see Waller active. I know, Carr overthrew him a couple times in the end zone, too. But this is who the Raiders are. Very hard to figure out. There's no question about that. Hey, the New England Patriots, we could be talking about them in January. I don't know how far they're going to go, but they seem to have their game plans figured out, and they're not fun for fantasy. But in reality, they're playing good football. Mac Jones threw for 139 passing yards. And a touchdown, also through an interception. In playing the guess who running back, Ramondre Stevenson was back at it again, 62 rushing yards, 2 receptions, 44 yards. Damian Harris scores another touchdown. I think this is like 7 or 8 games in a row for him. It's been a lot. And then Hunter Henry got involved in the action. 2 receptions, 19 yards, and a touchdown. Now, did the Panthers give the game away? I don't know that I would say that. It's just that they simply put, unfortunately, have the worst quarterbacking going right now in the NFL. Maybe even worse than Heinicke in Washington. Sam Darnold threw for 172 passing yards and 3 interceptions, and 2 were brutal. I mean, they were brutal. Right to the defender. 1, the defender jumped up and caught. Okay, but the other 2 were just awful. Christian McCaffrey, as the game went on, started to see more volume. So this is a huge positive development for McCaffrey owners like myself. DJ Moore, 3 receptions, 32 yards. He left the game briefly with an injury and then came back in. He was targeted in the end zone and couldn't come up with the ball. Not his fault. Zane Gonzalez, 2 for 2 on field goals, 49 yards rushing. Of course, naturally, we're waiting here probably an hour for Matt Rhule to talk and talk about how Sam Darnold's going to be benched. It's only a matter of minutes probably at this point. But after the game, Christian McCaffrey said it's not all on Sam.
I think it's important just for every one of us to point the thumb. You know, it's in this league, it's really easy to blame and point the finger. But that just doesn't get you anywhere. So, you know, I got to do a better job. I think everybody just has to do a better job. You know, sounds cliche, but it's really that simple.
Christian, at what point in time throughout the week did you feel like you were able to go into a game?
Yeah, I mean, we practiced all week and felt good in practice. So usually if I feel good in practice, I know I'm ready to go.
All right, so good indication there from McCaffrey moving forward. If he practices, he'll play. Just wanted to play that at the end there. So we'll go against that if that does not happen in the future. Sam Darnold, Davis, Sam Darnold. I'm still going to put Heinicke at the bottom. I'm going to do it. Because I've seen Darnold make these incredible throws and he like draws me back in like a little bit. But if Joe Brady cannot make you right, you probably got to call it a day. And I think, unfortunately for him, it is time to see what this kid Walker has. I don't know that he has anything, but they got to try.
Yeah, I mean, I am excited to at least see PJ Walker because I remember his time with the Houston Roughnecks. But I mean, I don't think Walker will solve the ill. So that, you know, it was kind of interesting. The Panthers did not lie about how McCaffrey would be used. They said that he would be on a pitch count, and he played 29 of 59 offensive snaps. Amir Abdullah played 22 snaps. Chuba Hubbard played 10 snaps. And they kind of dispersed the touches. And McCaffrey, basically, when the game got out of hand, was not playing anymore. You would basically anticipate the Amir Abdullah and the Amir Abdullah and Hubbard snaps are pretty much going to go away. The one thing I wanted to note was for the Patriots is Stevenson looked incredible. I mean, he just was like, guy was looking like prime LeGarrette Blount out there. He had this stiff arm where he just like removed the Panthers defender like out of the field of play. It was, I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine why Bolden is getting touches when Stevenson looks that good.
Listen, I'll tell you right now, it would not shock me to see New England, Davis, on the road in game 1 of a wild card and beat that team in the playoffs. I could see this thing happening. I could see New England being a surprise. They could have easily beaten Tampa Bay.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number 1 checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
they should have beaten Miami. I mean, they're not a sexy team and they're no fun. But, I mean, they seem to have it down as to how they're going to win games this year, that's for sure. All right, more fantasy standouts coming up next. Stay on the grid. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Having the Chiefs in the contest and having the 49ers in the contest did not go my way yesterday. But here on Sports Grid yesterday, my favorite pick of all was the Atlanta Falcons. So thank goodness that did come through yesterday. How the Saints are favored by 6 over anyone in the NFL is beyond me, but that's what happened yesterday. Falcons look like they could be the better team between these two. Saints just have the Bucs number, let's be honest. Matt Ryan yesterday, probably the game of the year for him. 343 in the air, 8 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns. One of them was rushing. Cordarrelle Patterson is just having an unbelievable season. Maybe the surprise of all of fantasy this year. 6 receptions, 126 receiving yards. He didn't rush for much. Neither did Mike Davis, who fumbled at the end of the game, almost gave it away. Russell Gage, 7 for 64. And then Davis told us about this guy before the year. Zacchaeus, I played him once. He was a bust, but he scored 2 touchdowns. Maybe this is the beginning of something for him. 3 receptions and 58 yards. No Calvin Ridley for Atlanta. On the side of the Saints, we'll take a look at their numbers. And trust me, this was all second half numbers. They did nothing in the first half. Trevor Siemian, 25 of 41, 249 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. Alvin Kamara, he gave you the 20 fantasy points you needed. 50 rushing yards, 4 receptions, 54 yards and 1 score. Mark Ingram involved in the game plan since he's come over from Houston, 43 on the ground, 5 receptions, which is a shocker for him, 21 receiving yards. And Deontay Harris had 6 receptions, 52 yards. I believe Callaway may have scored a touchdown as well, if I'm not mistaken. But Davis, you know, Atlanta's just kind of kicking around here. You know, it's like they seem to be in this new system. I'm going to be real bullish on Atlanta next year. I think that they're a year away from becoming what Tennessee is, with Tennessee's former offensive coordinator. And let's just be honest, the Saints are just an average team. They're going to be 9-8 or 8-9 or somewhere along those lines, maybe even less than that. They just beat the Bucs during the regular season like nobody's business.
Yeah, they did. I mean, I'm a little less bullish on the Atlanta Falcons than you are. I don't know if they're a year away because, you know, who knows what's going on with Calvin Ridley. The defense is not particularly good. I mean, you know, they still gave up. At the end of the day, they still did give up, 25 points to the Trevor Siemian-led New Orleans Saints. So that's not particularly good. And they also play in a division, you know, with a dominant team. And the Saints, if by hook or by crook, they find themselves with an above-average NFL quarterback, then you're talking about then they're clearly, you know, the third team in the division. And honestly, I think you could even say that about the Panthers too. What if the Panthers had traded for Matt Stafford? What if the Panthers had traded for Aaron Rodgers? Or what if they drafted Mac Jones? You know, then I think we're talking, because I think we all kind of look at the Panthers and we're like, well, the defense is pretty good. They kind of do their job. They have McCaffrey, they have DJ Moore. They have these guys who can make plays. So I don't know if I'm there with you on the Falcons, but Zacchaeus, you know, the 2 touchdowns, the role in terms of routes run and targets was not that great. The thing that's been the weirdest to me about the Falcons without without Calvin Ridley is, why is Kyle Pitts not just getting like 13 targets a game? Like, it seems really bizarre. He got 7 targets. He caught 3 of them for 62 yards. But my thought was, no Calvin Ridley, you got to just be loading. You just got to be loading Kyle Pitts up with targets, and that has not been what's happened. And then on the other side of the game, the interesting statistical nugget is that Mark Ingram has a real role on this team. His 2 games with the Saints, 6 rushes, 2 targets against Tampa Bay, 9 rushes, 5 targets against Atlanta, 29% and 34% of the snaps. I anticipate they'll probably give him some goal line touches as well. And the offense will probably look different when they play at Tennessee in week 10, because I think that Taysom will be the quarterback moving forward. It seemed like the reason why they didn't play Taysom at quarterback this week is because he hasn't been practicing as a quarterback because he had that concussion. But I feel like, you know, they saw what Simeon had to do. It really was not all that impressive. And probably Taysom will be the starting quarterback. So I think the offense is going to look much different here in a week.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to watch how the Saints progress over the course of the season. And for me, yeah, I mean, I just think Atlanta's is inching closer to where they need to be. All right, the one game that really you had to be crazy to watch the whole thing, Red Zone. I was watching games and Red Zone at the same time. This was like the one game they didn't even go to throughout the day. Nine turnovers in this game between Miami and Houston. Worst game of the season by far. Jacoby Brissett, 26 of 43, 244 passing yards, 7 rushing yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Miles Gaskin on the field quite a bit, fumbling, scoring, just kind of being him. 34 rushing yards, 6 receptions, 23 yards and a score. Jaylen Waddle, 8 for 83, so a nice 16-point day there. In fantasy, Mac Hollins had 3 receptions and a touchdown, but over and over, it was Brissett at the end of the game to Mike Gesicki, who just keeps saving the Dolphins, not from winning, because they're not winning, but keeps them in games with these crazy catches. And Brissett talked about having Gesicki as essentially his number one or number two target.
You know, me coming here knew that we had a tight end that could make plays like that. And it's no surprise, because when you watch him practicing, you watch him on the side every time, you know, when the defense is going, he's practicing those catches and he's making those plays. So, you know, it's no surprise. I mean, obviously it's crazy when he does it in the game, but, you know, not to say that we expect those plays from Mike, but it's a reason why his hard work is paying off in those times.
It paid off for the Dolphins in their win yesterday. It also paid off that Tyrod Taylor looked nothing like the Tyrod Taylor we saw in week 1. In week 8, he was just falling over himself with 3 big interceptions, one bigger than the next. Also a fumble at the end of the game. Brandon Cook, 6 receptions, 56 yards. He's the only startable player on Houston for sure. Amendola, yes, that same Danny Amendola, 3 receptions, 49 yards. And Kaimi Fairbairn, 3 receptions, 3 field goals, 3 of 3. Kicked a 40-yarder. That was his long after the game. The head coach of Houston, Davis, did not commit to starting Tyrod Taylor next week for whatever reason. It can only get worse from them. Houston's just a fadeable commodity at this point. You know, that line was kind of changing all throughout the day. We didn't even see Tua in this game. Miami essentially said to Houston, okay, we're going to just try and hand you this one. If you'd like to go ahead and keep it close and win, we will give it to you. And Houston could not even do that. It was, I mean, I don't know, just a horrible, horrible football game yesterday.
It really was. I mean, the only fantasy football relevant notes are on the Dolphins side, which is that Jaylen Waddle, I think Jaylen Waddle could maybe have Craig Mish throwing him passes and he'd still be a lock for at least 8 for 60, just the way the Dolphins offense works. He is a plug and play start in any PPR format. And, you know, if Tua recovers from this hand injury and, you know, begins to build on some of the promise he's shown again, I pretty much every week on the show, I say, I'm not out on Tua. The Dolphins offensive line, though, Miles Gaskin gets 20 touches, 6 targets, 20 carries. And I this is the number one thing I hate about Dolphins fans right now is they complain about the rushing game, right? They're like, oh my gosh, you know, I don't remember who I saw tweet this, but some Dolphins beat writer yesterday tweeted something along the lines of, The Dolphins front office is going to react to this Miles Gaskin 20 carries for 30 yards rushing game by scouting 7th round running backs for the draft next year. And that's the total wrong response, right? The response is we got to get some offensive linemen because we're never going to know if Tua is any good. We're never going to gain any yards on offense until we get some offensive linemen. And they just have none. I mean, it's like the Houston freaking Texans every single play are blowing the wig back of your offensive line. That is not a very good sign. In fact, it's a really bad sign. And then the Texans, there was maybe some thought after they trade Mark Ingram, you know, maybe Lindsey, maybe David Johnson. They played 4 running backs again. It's a nightmare for the Texans.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins, you know, former player Brian Baldinger, he like breaks down all the games, and I noticed that he in the last month has the Dolphins at the very bottom offensive line wise, like in terms of all teams in the NFL. And it's not close, like the least time that the quarterback has to throw. So clearly they did not do their job in the offseason. All right, surprise of the day in the NFL for sure. Probably knocked a lot of people out of Survivor. Jacksonville defeating Buffalo, really due to their defense. This kid, Josh Allen, had his way with the other Josh Allen on Buffalo. Trevor Lawrence threw for 15 of 26, 118 passing yards, no touchdowns. Carlos Hyde, 67 on the ground, a reception and 6 yards. Laviska Shenault, 4 receptions, 24 yards. And there's good old Dan Arnold. He's like tight end one, top five guy this year. 4 receptions, 60 yards. You cannot stop Dan Arnold. On the side of Buffalo, I really don't know what went wrong. I did not watch a lot of this game. I got to be honest. It was just red zone for me on this one. 31 of 47, 264, 50 rushing yards for Josh Allen. Singletary, 16 rushing yards, 7 receptions, 43 yards. Diggs, 6 for 85. Beasley, 8 for 33. Maybe it's just one of those games, Davis, where just everything went wrong for Buffalo. I really can't necessarily pinpoint exactly, other than the defensive player, Josh Allen, on the side of Jacksonville was just blowing up Buffalo's offensive line the whole game.
So this is what the real football people say. And again, I think a lot of people who watch football think they know what they're seeing and they don't. But what I read this morning was that teams are starting to do to the Buffalo Bills what they've been doing to the Kansas City Chiefs, which is playing the two high safeties and then making them, you know, have very strict discipline. They have to stay outside of the hashes. And what that does is, you know, think about all the great plays the Bills have run, you know, those big deep passes, Diggs running past the defense, Manny Sanders. Well, you cannot do that if there's a safety back there, because the safety's going to see it coming from a mile away and get in front of the ball. So you got to go short. You got to throw over the middle of the field. Most quarterbacks don't like to throw over the middle of the field for, you know, pretty obvious reasons. They get their guys conked. There are a lot of bodies there. Now, again, I don't know if this is real, but that's what people are saying, that the too high safety stuff is really impacting them.
You know, I mean, definitely Kansas City's being affected by something, but hadn't really considered that with Buffalo, because Buffalo has seemingly looked like themselves with the exception of the last 2 weeks, but something we'll have to watch moving forward. Coming up next, Broncos shock the Cowboys. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. For those of you on social media, give us a follow on Twitter at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV for the latest news, notes, information, of course, picks against the spread, a lot of fun conversations we have throughout the week from the early line morning after Fantasy Sports Today. Scott Farrell, Gabe Morency, all of our great hosts. We are posting content for you over on Sports Grid. On Twitter, at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV. Those are the two spots there. All right, Denver Broncos, wow, they came to play in Dallas on Sunday. This game was just a complete one-sided affair. Teddy Bridgewater had his way with the defense of Dallas, 19 of 28, 249 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. One was rushing. The real story for the Broncos is that both running backs got involved and were very good in the action. Javonte Williams led the way with 111 yards. But my guy, Melvin Gordon, 80 rushing yards, 2 receptions, 1 touchdown. He continues to roll on. Tim Patrick, 4 receptions, 85 yards and a score. Not much from Sutton. Judy was okay in this game. Now, Dallas, all of these numbers were in the fourth quarter with about 8 minutes to go. But I started Dak and ended up, somehow salvaging. I may end up winning because of this day from Dak in the fourth quarter. 19 of 39, 232 passing yards, 16 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Zeke's worst game of the year, 51 on the ground, 3 receptions, 25 receiving yards. Malik Turner came in late in the game and scored twice, 5 receptions, 33 yards. Nothing from CeeDee Lamb, not much from Cooper. Dalton Schultz had 4 receptions for 54 yards. Mike McCarthy was asked about the positivity, at least at the end of the game for Dallas, and why Dak was still in there with a few minutes to go.
I mean, I think it's like anything. The speed of the game is something you can't replace. And frankly, the fourth quarter was a conscious effort to get them in there for the 2 minute work. That's something that if I was looking at all the situation and work that we've done and the commitment that you put to each situation, we needed that work. So I was happy to see us, have some 2 minute production just because that's something I think we definitely can carry forward out of this game.
Yeah. I mean, I think Davis, you may have said it best earlier, is that in following the history of the Dallas Cowboys, especially you're right at home as big favorites, they just have these games where even when they're good, like it's just like a head scratching game. Sometimes it happens on Thanksgiving, it's just, you can't figure them out sometimes. I think I'm almost completely willing to just toss this game, and you know how I feel about Denver, so I'm shocked that it ended up being the Broncos that went to Dallas and did this to them. But I suppose the one negative for me would be, why couldn't Dallas stop the ground game at all of Denver? Why did they give up so many yards? Beyond that, I think Dallas's offense just bounces back.
Well, I mean, that stuff just happens, right? In terms of like, you just got gashed by Javonte Williams. Well, when a team is just going to run on first and second down, your defense gets tired and the offense has to do their job. And really the story of this game, it was pretty much over in the first quarter. The Cowboys go for it on fourth and one with these awful plays, like not even good fourth down plays, like basically just running Zeke behind the center when everyone in the stadium knew where the ball was going. But just for a historical example, people might want to test the idea, the Cowboys, that can't possibly be true that they always lay an egg at home some point in the season. So I just picked a random Tony Romo season, 2000 and 2009. They lose to the Denver Broncos in a season where they win 13 games. That one was at Denver. Then they randomly lose to the San Diego Chargers 17-20 at home. It's just true. It's a part of the Cowboys' DNA. They are just going to randomly lay an egg to a bad team at least once a year, if not more. It just seems to be what they do. Not worried about the Cowboys at all, though. You just have a bad day at the office, and we saw what happened. They don't get those fourth downs. McCarthy goes into a shell. They have a fourth and one at midfield on their third possession. They punt it away. And basically, once you have a team doing that, once the coaching staff says we don't believe you guys can get the yards, that's it. It's just game over. Noah Fant will probably come back from the COVID list next week, but my guy Albert Okwuegbunam, he played 81% of the snaps. Second most targets on the team with 5. So if you did pick him up on the waiver wire last week, maybe hold on to him to see if Fant comes off of the COVID list, because he was, an every down player for the Broncos in this game.
Yep. Denver just up 30 to nothing, basically, in this one. It was shutdown mode. Same thing, essentially, with Cleveland and Cincinnati, where the Browns dominated the Bengals pretty much from start to finish. Baker Mayfield threw for 218 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. Another big game for Nick Chubb, 137 on the ground and 2 scores along with 2 receptions. So monster day for him. Donovan Peoples-Jones, 2 receptions, 86 yards, and a long touchdown reception. And David Njoku got in the end zone as well. 1 reception, 18 yards, and a touchdown. Cincinnati's defense just was brutal. Not a great game for Joe Burrow either. One of those duds, 28 of 40, 282 passing yards and 2 interceptions. Joe Mixon was the star on the side of Cincinnati. He rushed for 64 yards, 5 receptions, 46 yards, and 2 scores. T. Higgins, 6 for 78, and Jamar Chase, 6 receptions for 49 yards. I feel like the Bengals will probably have better days as well, but I think the reality really has set in, Davis, to think that in that division, anybody is better than Baltimore. You're sort of doing yourself a disservice. And I kind of want to throw out the game where Cincinnati destroyed Baltimore a couple of weeks ago. I don't know. Cincinnati's still not quite there yet, I guess. 2 weeks ago, we got way too excited about them.
Well, that Ravens game, that Ravens-Bengals game, was another game that was basically completely random. It was a one-score game. The Ravens go for it on fourth down. They don't get it. Joe Mixon, 28-yard touchdown. Ravens get the ball back. Go for it on fourth down. Don't get it. Samaje Perine, 45-yard touchdown, and all of a sudden, oh, the Bengals, they're the best. They blew out the Ravens. Like, you know, we just have we have a very hard time remembering the random things that happen in games and then applying them to the logic as a whole. We just, you know, kind of remember the final score and we're like, oh yeah, you know, the Bengals are the best team in the AFC. And then those takes look bad 2 weeks later because it was mostly just the result of something random that happened in a football game that is extremely random. Marquise Brown, probably the most underrated wide receiver in fantasy at this point. You know, his like rolling 16 game average or his rolling 16 game stats are like 110 receptions, 1300 yards and 12 touchdowns. He's clearly the wide receiver one in this offense. Lamar is just playing his butt off. I mean, this guy, it just feels like even when he's having trouble throwing the ball, which he did, especially in the first half of this game, have trouble throwing the ball a little bit. But yeah, it was there. And then for the Bengals, are you disappointed in T. Higgins? Are you bummed out about T. Higgins? Like he has had, I did this research yesterday. Higgins has played in 7 games this year. He's got between 7 and 17 fantasy points in all of them. No multi-touchdown games. No games with more than 100 yards. Like, do you feel like we all kind of overrated T. Higgins because he was so good when it was just him and Boyd? And now that Ja'Marr Chase is there, it just kind of feels like Chase is just better.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a little bit, but he was also targeted again near the end zone. And it was funny, we talked about this last week, and I did bench Higgins for DJ Moore. And watching the game, I instantly was thinking I made a big mistake. Like, it really is so much about the quarterback, and I think Higgins is going to be fine. I think Higgins reminds me a little bit. I know that you may not think so, but like, not prime Dez Bryant, but sort of like, I think he's going to get up there and catch. I mean, there are the defenders who are on him are a lot smaller. Yeah. I think he's going to turn into Mike Evans-ish type where all the goal line stuff.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem is T might be that guy, but what if Chase is Julio Jones, right? So like he could be Mike Evans, but what if Chase is just like, so good that he just is earning all the really important targets. And yeah, obviously, you know, anything could happen over the next 4 years of these guys' careers, but Chase just might be really, really good.
I think they're both playable at this point. I'm definitely, unfortunately, sour on Moore and not really his fault, but they just have no quarterback there. Okay, to the Ravens, let's go back. Davis mentioned them again, another great game for Lamar Jackson, who certainly is in the MVP conversation without a doubt. Kyler Murray missed last week, so Lamar has to be. 120 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Devontae Freeman, yes, another touchdown for him. 79 rushing yards, 2 receptions, 4 receiving yards, and a touchdown. Le'Veon Bell also scored at the end of the game on a 1-yard touchdown. And Hollywood Brown, 9 receptions, 116 receiving yards. Once again, the hero of the game is their kicker, arguably one of the best kickers ever, Justin Tucker. Does this guy ever miss a big field goal? I don't think so. Tucker, after the game, said, if you ain't feeling nervous, then you got something wrong with you.
And if you're not feeling a little bit nervous, like, are you really living? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not feeling the emotion of the, you know, if you're not feeling the vibe of the game, then, you know, it, as soon as I stop feeling that way, then it's time for me to be done. But I will never feel that way. So I'm just... We're gonna kick to the bitter end.
Feels like he will do that. This is why the Ravens. I mean, they didn't cover yesterday, and I did. We did take Minnesota in the contest, but it's very hard to go against Baltimore getting points in the NFL. This guy doesn't miss field goals, so you're always gonna be close. And if I'm always gonna be close, I got a good chance to win getting points with Baltimore. All right, Minnesota, they've never met a game this year that they didn't like going down to the wire, and that's for sure. They did cover 17 of 28, 187 passing yards, 1 rushing touchdown for Kirk Cousins on the ground and 3 in the air. Great game for him. Dalvin Cook, 110 on the ground, 3 receptions, 12 yards. Justin Jefferson scored 3 receptions, 69 yards and a touchdown. And Tyler Conklin had 5 receptions and 45 yards. So certainly the Ravens, Davis, are right back to where they should be, off a bye, playing well, no doubt. And it was a really great buy low spot for Minnesota. If Minnesota is getting points in an NFL game that's near 6 or 7 and it's during the day, you're probably going to go down to the end and win. That's probably the way it's going to go. I don't think they're very good. But to me, I still think the Ravens are, if not the best team in the AFC, right there with Buffalo and everybody else.
Yeah, the Vikings, they just play so cautious. I mean, they play that style of football that we hate, right? They play Fangio ball. They run on first down, they run on second down. And how is this for a coaching decision? 9 combined targets the last 2 weeks and 2 losses for Justin Jefferson, 4 targets in the loss to Dallas, 5 targets in the loss to Baltimore. I mean, from a coaching perspective, how do you explain that? I mean, how can Justin Jefferson, clearly your best offensive player, in 2 losses, how can you get him under 10 combined touches? I mean, it just feels like a nightmare.
Yeah, the fans, as you notice in Minneapolis, are all calling for Zimmer, and they're all very upset. But we also know, truthfully, Davis, you mentioned the randomness. There is no more randomness than with a game with 2 minutes to go and you're tied or up or down a field goal. I mean, those go one way or the other. You could win them all. You could lose them all. And truthfully, if they were to make a change, I mean, he's won with them the coach has won with them almost every single year that he's been there as the head coach. So we'll see what happens with Minnesota. For me, again, I'm very conservative after being up significantly on the Ravens. We'll come back and wrap up hour one after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports today. Now, Davis, last week I was going into my matchup on Monday Night Football. I forget who it was, but you said I had no shot. I was definitely going to lose. I don't know. Do you remember who I said it was last week?
I don't remember, but I do remember telling you had no shot.
Yeah, and I did win in that game. Oh, it was Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney was Monday Night. All right, so I'm painting the next scenario for you. Already 1-1 league. Now we're coming down to the wire in the other league. I mean, this is really. I mean, honestly, I don't think you can go against me here, but up 20 points and the opponent has Pat Freiermuth.
Tight end premium?
No, just a point per reception.
No, I would put him for 20. So that is, he would have to get something like 8 receptions, 80 yards and a touchdown. So something along those lines, right? So he definitely has to score. Right, because he's definitely not catching 10 passes. Right. The total in this game is 39. Really, honestly, the only way you lose this game is if he scores 2 red zone touchdowns. That would really be the only way. So I'm gonna say you're like 97% in the clear here versus Freiermuth. That sounds about right.
Yeah, I think it's an ESPN league. They have it at 93. I think they have it at 93% with 7% on the other side of it. And so, yeah, that's definitely part of it as well. First day of – we're going to get to this a little bit later on, Davis, but this is the first day of baseball free agency. I know that you're locked into football here, but, really hard to see any signings not knowing if the DH is there or not. And so I feel like we're going to be waiting on this one. NBA, it happens, and the NFL, like, oh, it's like people are crazy. But baseball is just – it's underway right now as we speak.
Well, I mean, who's the big signing? Who are we? Correa is a free agent, right?
Correa.
That's one. And then there's a Nippon League guy who's coming over, who's supposed to be really good too, right?
I saw that. Yeah. I mean, he's like a top 20 guy, maybe. Yeah. Seems like Texas is being named with a lot of possible free agents. We'll see. All right, hour two is next. Stay on the grid. Here's Chris, an update. Break.
Sports happens every day, and we give you expert insights and information on gaming, odds, and more.
Every day.
You see a trend.